Ladies and gentlemen, we present the Navy Lark with our three stars, Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Purphy. With everyone's domestic expenses, there's usually one item which rocks the family budget. Well, in our household, I reckon it's Mrs. Boyle's hairdos. She reckons it's Robin's Sunday morning pie to Wallop. But the director of naval expenditure, however, he knows exactly who it is that's mucking up his books. HMS Troutbridge. It's for this reason he's sent for Captain Povey.
I'm terribly sorry, Captain Povey, but the director of naval expenditure, Mr. Merivale, is not available.
But I have an appointment.
Well, he left word that he'd like you to see his personal, private, confidential undersecretary. Mr. Merivale hoped you'd be a mean avail to that, sir.
Oh, well, I suppose it's unavailable.
I mean unavoidable.
This way, sir. Captain Povey from Portsmouth to see you, Mr. Gaylord.
Oh, do come in, old chap. Sorry the director isn't here, but he was called away on an urgent matter. You know how these things crop up. Oh,
quite nothing serious, my son.
Oh, good googlies. No. One of the sea lords popped in and offered to take him round to the saucy Sam Peekaboo Clown.
The what?
Come off it, Povey, old man. Do you mean to tell me you haven't seen Saucy Sam's latest review? The 9 o'clock nudes of 1991?
No, I most certainly have not.
Ah, shame. They've got the most amazing fan dancer there this week. Specially brought over from Spain, you know. Supposed to be the absolute rage of Madrid.
I don't care about the... Have they really? very hot-blooded, the Spanish, I understand.
Yes.
What's their name?
Luscious Lil.
No, really? Mr. Gaylord, I've come all the way up here from Portsmouth about some urgent matter concerning naval expenditure. I did not come here to discuss Luscious Lil.
Oh, you're so right, old boy. Well, now, the director of naval expenditure has been totting up the old LSD for the year, and he was glad to find that the naval expenditure has gone down, with one glaring exception.
Really? Well, that can hardly be anything to do with my flotilla, can it? I'm constantly... Troutbridge.
Their little pile-up have cost us almost as much as the rest of the home fleet put together.
I'm not surprised.
Well, it shook the big white chief, all right. He set up a committee, and their investigation has shown that the pile-ups have usually been caused by the most irresponsible navigational errors on this chap, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips.
Oh, they're so right!
Yeah, well, here's the point. They've decided to send down one of the instructors from the navigation school to give him a 3-day test.
Oh, that'll do it! Oh, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips won't understand a word he says. When's he coming?
A day after tomorrow, boy. A captain, somebody or other. The point is this, bearing in mind your constant watch on expenditure, we wondered if you and your wife could put him up.
Oh, you pay the usual allowances, of course.
No need to tell the wife about that, huh?
Oh, no, I suppose not. I'll expect this captain for the navigation school the day after tomorrow.
A jolly sporting of you. I say, you better let Troutbridge know he's coming too. We do like everyone to know about these unexpected inspections. Saves us a fortune in courts martial, you know.
Very well. I hardly think Mr. Phillips can learn enough about navigation in a day to stop his court martial.
Well, I hope he can. I mean, apart from his, there'll be yours, won't there?
Yes, I suppose. Mine?
Well, you're flotilla, old boy. You're supposed to know what's going on, what? Well, then, have a nice trip back. Cheerio, baby.
It returns after being displaced from its equilibrium position by one direct movement to the north position, instead of executing a number of oscillations. This is known as the deadbeat compass.
Does that book help, Mr. Phillips?
Well, not really, sir. No. From here on, I shall be known as the deadbeat navigation officer who lost his equilibrium. I've been right through this book, and there's not a word about the old left-hand down a bit anywhere.
Surprise, surprise.
I wonder if I ought to drop the author a line and explain my system to him.
Oh, I shouldn't bother.
You don't seem to realize how serious this is. I've got a nasty, sneaking suspicion that this chap from the navigation school and I may not see eye to eye. Me to me. To him.
Halt!
Thank you.
Why don't you try the old comrades approach? Ask him how all the people are that were at the school when you were there.
Well, that's rather the snag, sir. You see,
I never was there.
What? On the day my navigation course started, I caught measles. Then I got whooping cough, and by the time I'd reported back from the sick bay, the course was over.
Well, didn't they put you on the next one?
No, sir. Nobody had noticed I hadn't been on the first one.
Good gracious. Oh, well, that accounts for quite a lot, doesn't it?
Well, I don't see why, sir. At the final exams, I came fourth.
Just a minute. I thought you hadn't sat for the exam.
I hadn't.
Fascinating. Didn't anybody query it?
No. Mind you, the chap who came fifth looked a bit puzzled for a bit.
Yes, I can imagine.
But the question is, how am I going to keep Leslie out of the soggy muck with this chap from the school now?
Oh, I've taken certain precautions on that little matter, Mr. Phillips. I felt this problem required the agile approach of a facile mind untroubled by principle. In short, Pertwee's boss. Ah, I expect that's him now. Come in, Chief. I trust you've thought of some solution to Mr. Phillips' little difficulty?
I've considered the whole situation in all its spectacles. And there's a very simple way.
Oh, thank heavens. Now, what is it, Chief?
Well, sir, just before this navigation school bloke gets here, sir, dessert.
Yes, I suppose I...
Oh.
You could well be right, Chief, but I think we shall just have to find a somewhat less drastic solution somehow.
Oh, no, wait a minute. How about a nasty attack of the twinging screws? Very bad for the navigation, always the twinging screws.
Oh, possibly, but Captain Purvey is wise for them now.
Yeah, I'd noticed that. Yeah, see then.
All right then. I know. Look here, how about me? How about compassionate leave? And your dear old white-haired mother is tucked in the doorway of the...
No.
No, sir.
No.
But it's inflammable, that is. I mean, you can't leave white-haired old mothers tucked in the doorway...
No, Chief.
I'm afraid we shall have to this time.
It's only on to in my bed.
Just a moment. Aren't you forgetting one?
Eh? Which one's that?
Well, it's a little difficult to explain, but it works on the lines of, before you take any action over the outrageous thing I've just done, I hope you'll remember the small favor I did you 10 years ago.
Well, what's the good of that? I mean, I never have done this chap a favor.
Oh, I don't know. You caught measles and stayed away from his classes. You ought to be grateful for that.
You know, I wish you two would take me seriously. If I'm not careful, I'll get slung out.
There is that possibility, I suppose. That'd mean we'd get somebody else. I must admit, I'm not keen on that.
Oh, that's jolly nice. Jolly nice of you.
Well, not really. I'm working on the theory, better the steaming knit we know than the one we don't.
If you ask me, sir, here.
Well, I really don't know what to say. It's jolly nice of you, chap, to put it like that. Chap appreciates it. Comradeship at the service and all that. You know, it's really very touching. I'm really quite... Better than what?
Steaming knit.
Yes. Ah, wait a minute. I've got it. I saw a film. Once.
Have you?
Once, yes. It's easy. All we got to do is time to a railway line, and then just before the express train comes along, I nip up and release him, you see. Once you save a chap's life, he can hardly... What are you two looking at me like that for? Hmm?
Mr. Phillips, how long is it since you went for the pictures?
Look, sir, that one's so old, they're not even showing that one on television.
No, but they will.
They're always time, sir. I reckon he's on the right track.
Oh, he is. That's the whole point. I mean, there's no sense in tying him to another line if the express train is on...
All right, Noddy. I think you'd better leave this to we bigger boys to sort out. Go on, Chief.
Well, I wouldn't suggest this normally, sir, but the situation is a bit desperate. So, supposing this captain, whoever he is, should happen to be on the dock side after dark and should accidentally sort of get shoved in.
I wouldn't do any good, Chief. They send another one.
Look, I am quite finished. I was going to suggest that after he landed in a drink, a certain sub-lieutenant Phillips might be around to dive in and save him.
Oh, blimey, that one creaks a bit, doesn't it?
Not so much as tying him to a railway line, sir. With me best offer.
I don't like it that I can't think of anything better. I wonder how you like staying at the Povey's house for 3 days.
Cool.
I'm only doing out the spare room, as you said, my love.
No, no, you're not. I said nothing about allowing you to use that machine. I told you to do it with our little dustpan and brush.
I can't, my love. The brush is worn out.
Oh, no, it's not. I'm not a fool, Henry. I saw you out in the yard cutting all the bristles off of the garden shard.
Oh, dear.
A nice way to treat my birthday present to you, I must say.
I was only trying to trim the bristles up, my love.
Oh. Well, you've done that all right. All you've got now is a handle with a 5 o'clock shadow.
I'll buy a new one, my love.
Yes, sir. Well, take your apron off. This guest of yours should be here any time now. My carry-on, this is, turning the place into a common lodging house for 3 days.
It wasn't my idea.
And another thing. You're holding something back. You've been treacherous ever since you got that signal telling you who this captain is. One of your old cronies, I suppose.
Not mine. One of yours.
What was that? Well, come on, now speak up.
Well, you must know, I understand the chap who's coming here from the navigation school is Captain Franklin Pettigrew.
What?
Snogger Pettigrew. Oh. From the Chatham days, my love.
Good grief. Of all the Franklin coming here.
I'm afraid.
Oh, no, this is too much. The man I might have married coming here to show me what a fool I was to turn him down.
I wish you hadn't, too.
That will do. And if we have any more of this nasty show of temper, there'll be no passion fruit for you next Christmas. Listen, there's a motor. It's stopping outside here.
So big, it stopped outside next door as well.
It's him. Look, there he is. Handsome as ever. So distinguished, with that hair graying at the temple, and that slow, purposeful walk.
You ask me, he just looks something old.
I didn't ask you. Quick, Henry, open your apron and answer the door.
Yes, very well, Bella.
I must tidy up a bit.
Oh, good morning, my man. Here is my card. The lady of the house is expecting you.
I beg your pardon?
Good gracious, it's Curly Povey. I'd never have known you. Tell me, how is the delectable Ramona?
She's fighting fit. She'll be down in a minute.
Come in. Jolly nice of you. Take the cases with you. Your man can take them up to my room later.
My man? We haven't got any servants.
No servants? Great Scott, you don't mean to tell me the poor dear Ramona has been reduced to actually having to soil those pale lily-white hands of hers?
Oh, certainly not. I have to do all the housework.
Quite right, too.
I think she's coming. Good grief, Ramona, where are you going?
Nowhere, Henry, why?
But you've got your evening dress on, and all those shiny beads your mother gave you, and the feather boa your grandmother left you.
Now, don't be tiresome, Henry. You know we always dress for dinner.
We do. But I thought you must be opening some bazaar.
What? Franklin.
Ramona.
My dear Franklin, how utterly delightful to see you again.
Ramona, my dear, it's been so long. In fact, looking at you, I had no idea it had been so long.
You've done so well, Franklin, dear. You look so distinguished.
And you're as enchanting as ever, Ramona.
Henry Povey, do you have to keep coughing and spluttering all over the place? Now, I'll have to go to the kitchen and have some of that delicious medicine I bought.
Oh, no, my love, not that stuff. I shan't be able to go to the office. Besides, I haven't got a cold. I was just wondering if Franklin would like a drink.
I'll just have a spot of brandy, Curly.
Brandy? We've only got fizzy orange.
What? Oh, yes.
Henry, get your coat and get on to the local pub. A hostelry. And bring back a miniature brandy for Franklin, a pseudo sham for me, and you've got your fizzy orange already, so that's the one.
What? Leave you here with...
Don't argue, Henry. We haven't been.
Lando! Here! Money! All right, over here, if you please! Oi! Beer basher!
Now then, look here. It may be Sidney's night off, but his last words before he left were no credit for CPO Pertwee. Good night.
Perhaps we'd do better if I tried, Chief. My credit fleet is a little less monumental than yours.
Yes, Mr. Murray, save again.
I think so.
You know, I still think my idea about tying this chap to the railway line would be a lot simpler. There's a train at 11:20.
Forget it, Mr. Phillips.
Look, it's no go. I mean, supposing we let you tie him to the railway line. You'd probably find that when you went to rescue him in the nick of time, you tied a double granny and you couldn't untie it.
Oh, nasty.
Now, I hate to say it, but the accidental shove in the dock still seems to be the best idea up to now. Yeah,
if only we could find some way of getting him down there after dark.
I suppose he'll be up at old Thundergut's place by now.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, lummy, it's old Captain Povey. Yes, we thought you were tied to a railway line. I mean, navigating a train.
Good evening, Captain Povey, sir. We don't often see you in here. Mrs. Povey away again?
Unfortunately, no. But that is... Well, gentlemen, I need your help. I'm being used, sir.
Good. Well, now, I don't know whether to congratulate you or offer my deepest sympathy.
Why not?
I don't know what a usurp is.
Well, what's happened, sir?
It's this chap from the navigation school, Captain Franklin Pettingby. And as you know, he's staying at my place. But unfortunately, he also happens to be an old acquaintance of my wife. I am definitely being usurped.
Oh, I do wish I knew what a usurp was.
They advertise them on the telly, Chief. Eh? Do you usurp or some other well-known washing time? sorry, pardon. This is no laughing matter, is it, sir?
No, it's something well isn't. The sooner that man goes, the better.
I second that. There's a train at 11:20. And I know where there's a ball and string.
Look, Mr. Phillips, look, I do wish you'd stop harping about your flaming puff-puff.
What's he talking about?
Oh, Captain Purvey, sir, it seems to me that the quickest way of getting rid of this chap is to satisfy him that Mr. Phillips is competent.
Your joke?
You must... Not exactly. I mean, I presume that should Mr. Phillips be proved otherwise, it won't exactly help the confirmation of your promotion. And at the same time, it might well keep this navigation chap here.
Yes, I suppose that's true.
Then it seems to me, sir, that the sooner we prove to Captain Pettigrew that Mr. Phillips' navigation is sound, the better.
The moment you put to sea tomorrow, Pettigrew is going to know.
But wait a minute.
Wait a minute, though. There's just a chance of saving the situation. I saw it done once.
Yes, so did I, sir. Somebody ties into a railway line. And just as the express
Mr.
underground...
Mr. Phillips, why don't you order another shandy and jump in it?
Quiet a minute. What we need is a really delaying tactic. Supposing we could convince Pettigrew that he's ill or caught something, he'd have to go to the sick bay, wouldn't he?
Yes, that would get him out of your place.
Yes, and give this idiot some time to swat up his navigation.
Well, he's not catching the twinging screws. They're mine.
No, but this might work in with the idea we were working on. If he should happen to fall in the dock, he might well think he'd got pneumonia, mightn't he?
Fall in the dock?
Yes, sir. We haven't much time to explain, but do you think you could persuade the captain to come down to your office in about half an hour?
Try. I'll do my best. Good. It's cold.
I hope old Thundergut's can think of some way of getting this chap down here.
Yes, I do, sir. Hurt me, toes are like ice cubes.
You're worried about the cold, huh? What about me?
Well, it's no worse for you, sir, than it is for... Here. Mr. Phillips, sir. I know you're supposed to dive in and rescue our unwanted guests, sir. But that simply won't do.
What won't she?
Well, shine your torch on him, sir. Go on, shine your torch.
There you are. I thought so. He's put his bathing costume on.
What?
Well, then.
Oh, very lovely, Parisiani, I'm sure, sir. No, put that light out. No, go on. No, please, put that light out. No peeping. No, go away. Shoo.
Mr. Phillips, hadn't it occurred to you that to dive in to rescue him in a swimming costume might look just the tiniest bit obvious?
Well, there's no sense in getting my uniform soaked, just... Oh. Well, turn your backs and I'll put my uniform on again.
Well, hurry up, Sipper Trike, say! Wait a minute, I think I can hear someone coming.
You're right. Who's going to shove Captain Pettigrew's in?
Well, I think I'd better.
Shh, hurry up, Mr. Brady.
I'm nearly ready, sir, but I can't understand it. The peak of my cap seems to have fallen off. I can't see it anywhere.
I'm not surprised, sir. It's round the back of your neck. You've got the flaming thing on back to front, sir.
What? Oh, lummy, sir, I have. Honestly, I'm all the stupid.
Will you shut up? What? Someone's coming.
Oh, sorry, pardon.
Well, I'm sure you don't think the walk was worthwhile. They came out jolly well.
Well, I still don't see why they couldn't have waited until the morning. Fancy getting a chap to come down to your office at this time to look at old snaps.
Right, Chief. Now, what's that? Leave it to me.
Oh, show me the wife's gone. I'm tired of going to go to bed. I'm
I say, look out, man.
And
look out.
My God! Oh! I'm back! I'm sorry, pardon. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Come in, Mr. Phillips.
Coming!
Help! I'm here, sir.
Ready?
Oh, good man.
Ready for what?
To shout. Come on, sir. Let's go. Help! Help! Help!
What's the matter?
Got cramp?
No, help! I just remembered. I can't swim. Help! Help!
Can you manage the pool or can I help?
Pull this. What the devil are you doing in the water?
I had no choice.
The idiots that pushed you in pushed me in as well.
Oh, help, help! Oh. I blew the pool up. I've been down twice already. Oh. Steer green 5-0.
Steer green 5-0, sir.
Starboard 15.
Starboard 15.
3-1, bar 1.
No.
Red.
A red, sir.
No, fine.
Port.
Fine, no, port.
A port.
Yeah, port and lemon.
Port and lemon.
You
mean left-hand down a bit, sir?
Yes, please. Cool.
Come on, relax, Mr. Phillips, sir, relax. Captain Pettigrew has left the bridge for a bit.
I just can't understand his attitude. Let's face it, during this little trip, you've committed every conceivable navigational error in the book.
Yeah, and a couple off the covers as well.
And yet he's just beamed and said, excellent, well done.
Well, watch it, here he comes.
Well, gentlemen, coming into dock again, I see. Excellent trip, excellent.
But I nearly hit the lightship.
No, hardly your fault, Phillips. Nothing in our station, what?
Why? Oh, no. Fair. I mean, it's hardly their fault. I bashed straight through.
Mr. Phillips, the dock.
Well, oh, right, no, lovely. Steer 3-4.
Steer 3-4,
no. Bearing green.
Bearing green.
That is.
No.
First on.
First
on some of them. Alphabet Ada.
I say, have you tried left hand up a bit?
Oh, rather, hundreds of times. It never fails. Except that time.
Well, Mr. Phillips, sir, on behalf of the lower deck, may I say how much we've enjoyed knowing you. I'm sure that you'll settle down in civilian life.
Hold your horses, Captain. You're not suggesting this navigation officer was to blame for that mishap, are you? unavoidable little bump due to exceptionally high swell, I'd say.
But the sea's as calm as a mill pond.
No, it isn't. In fact, for the first time aboard, I think the swell's so bad I don't feel too well.
Well, I haven't felt too well all morning.
Well, let's settle then. Must leave you. Got to get back to London now.
Back to London, sir? I thought this was to be a three-day test.
Yes, it was, but one day we'll have to do. I think you'll find my report very satisfactory.
Oh, gracious. Captain Pettigrew, before you go, I've just got to know the answer. Why are you so satisfied with the Nick We Know's navigation?
Well, frankly, gentlemen, I would have passed him if he'd reached her halfway up the Portsmouth Road.
I don't like this.
You may not know it, of course, but I was pushed into the dock last night by a certain chief petty officer.
Well, you all wasn't going to like it.
Well, I'd had about enough of a certain lady by then, but when I got pushed in, so did Captain Povey.
We heard something about that, sir.
Well, I'll bet you did. The point is that Purvey immediately claimed he'd caught pneumonia and insisted on going into sick bay.
Nummy.
And if you think I'm going to stay in that house for 2 more days when that ghastly woman is on her tod, you're playing cuckoo. I'm going back to Admiralty where it's safe.
I do like it.
Oh, I see, sir. Very wise of you. I suppose you wouldn't care for a mugging in the wardroom before you go.
No, I wouldn't dare. I want to get on that train before she finds I've gone. There's one about 12:30. And if I get that, I might just be in time for the matinee at Saucy Sam's Peekaboo Club. Luscious Lil's last week before she returned to her native Madrid, you know. Cheerio.
Cheerio, sir. Yeah, give our love to Luscious Lil, sir. And if you go round after, don't bother with the old I senorita stuff. I remember her when she was working at the laundrette in Balham. Back to the old left hand. Down the beach, sir. Up to the top and down again. Mind the money. Keep off the ground. Pump, pump. We're coming through. That's the way we like it.
That was Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee working their passage in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer. Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Mrs. Povey was Heather Chasen, Captain Franklin Pettigrew was Ronnie Barker, Percy the Barman was Michael Bates, and Mr. Gaylord was Tenny Levens. The recorded production was by Alistair Scott Johnston.